The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 42. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Israel's failure to hear and see. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased, for his righteousness' sake, to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of our Lord. The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not this man who sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered him, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, Marty, I appreciate the children's message. Thank you. May we all be blind, just as blind as you. It's perfect. Today in our gospel reading from John chapter 9, we have selected verses as we get to hear the account of this man who had been born blind and yet saw better than any of the religious leaders that would then question him and try to take Jesus and imprison him for this belief that he had. Up until this point, if you're following in the Gospel of John, the people who, other than the disciples, the people that he encounters that have faith have been Samaritans, and the Jewish people have not been having faith. And finally, we get to a believing Jewish person, and he's a blind guy that everyone just assumes is a natural sinner. We're introduced into the scene with Jesus and his disciples walking in and seeing this blind man who's just there on the side of the road. And, hey, Jesus, rabbi, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This helps us understand the setting pretty well here. At this time, if you had some great malady, people just assumed that, well, you must have sinned really badly, or maybe your parents had sinned really badly. In some way, shape, or form, this bad thing has been cursed upon you as a punishment, as a consequence for sin. So if we understand that, here's a guy who's blind. Jesus, whose fault is that? His or his parents? Now, they don't know because they just are walking up and they see him. We find out later in the story that he was born blind, in fact. They do say he was born blind, but I don't know how they would notice that. They see a blind person and says, this man who was born blind. We're not given that context. But if he was born blind, well, that's interesting. It would make sense if a sinner were blinded under our belief, right? He's done something very bad, therefore God said, well, fine, blindness for you. Smitten. Thank you. That would make sense to us. So, if he was born blind, that doesn't make sense. Would it have been his parents then who sinned so badly that God would punish their child to make him blind? That's an awful question to ask, at least in our minds, right? If a child is born with some sort of problem nowadays, I sure hope you're not like, man, who did something wrong? I mean, the baby didn't do anything wrong. Which one of you guys did something so bad that this has happened to your child? That's heartless. I said it in a joking term, but man, that would just feel awful. I've spoken with parents whose kids have been born with various troubles and concern about, well, have I done something wrong? Like, why is God punishing us? Why has he done this? We can't solve all questions and understand all things perfectly. But I do love what Jesus says. In verse 3, it was not this man who sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. At least in this circumstance here, Jesus gives, I think, probably the best answer anyone could. It's not about this person's sin. It's not about his parents' sin. But God can do amazing things. And God will show his goodness, even in awful situations. You imagine what this life would have been like for these parents and for this guy growing up who everyone is assuming that they must just be awful sinners in some fashion. I don't know what the whole life story is, but we get to hear in the section that has been excluded from our reading for you today. This would be a further reading in John chapter 9. You see, the Pharisees are angry that Jesus has healed this man, that he has given him sight, And so they call in the parents, or they call in the son, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. This would have been in verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. You know, the artist formerly known as Prince, the man formerly known as blind. We don't get his name. It was a Sabbath day, and Jesus had made the mud and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees again asked him how he'd received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." How did he do it? He made mud. He put it on my eyes, and I see. Poor guy doesn't even know it was made out of spit mud, right? He couldn't see it happen. He took mud, and he put it on my face, and I can see now. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." Others, "Well, how can a man who's a sinner do such signs?" Signs in John is the word used for miracles. How can he do such miracles or signs? And there was division amongst them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." Simple enough, stop there. Then we have verses 18 to 33, which I'll sum up for you now. The Jews don't believe that this man could have even been blind. Well, this doesn't make any sense. We didn't see it happen. Maybe he wasn't blind at all. Maybe this is just a clever ruse by Jesus and his disciples. So they call in the parents. And the parents are a little bit concerned, because here comes the Jewish leaders saying, "Come and talk to us. Your son's kind of on trial here. What's going on?" In short summary, "Well, he's an adult. Ask him. Don't kick us out, please." This has been happening to people who are following Jesus, that the Jewish leaders won't let them into the temple. And so the parents, "I don't know, I wasn't there. He's an adult. It's his problem." So they bring him back in again. He's grown a little more bold now. He's had 5 hours to see things. He's getting a little more confident in stuff, and he's had more words given to him. It's picking up again in our reading. In the reading that was not appointed for today. And they ask, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them. You got to love this. This is a pretty bold character in front of all the Jewish leaders who have the power to kick him out of the temple. "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Bold. Bold to go for discipleship. Good job. He answers him, showing that he's on board with this guy. He doesn't know who he is. He's a prophet, he said earlier. Well, I'm willing to follow him, in fact. He's a pretty good prophet. I would like to be his disciple. This is amazing. And it picks back up then in the reading that we did get to cover in verse 34. They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. This poor guy, his whole life, has been told he was born in utter sin. His parents at this point are like, they don't want to really even be associated with him at this point. They've kind of gotten away from that era where everyone had been looking at them. "You must have done something absolutely terrible for God to have done this to your child." So they've kind of just given up. This man is alone in life, basically. He had been a blind man already, assuming maybe God doesn't love me, maybe I've done something wrong, maybe my parents did something wrong, I don't know. And yet now he can see, and he's telling everyone about what happened. They kick him out for it, and they say, "Well, you're a sinner, we can't even trust what you have to say." Clearly the blindness is from sin. You're the blind guy, or previously blind, if you even were ever blind before. Just get out of here. Jesus then heard that they had cast him out. He goes and he finds him. He finds the guy who's kicked out, the guy who's alone, the guy who doesn't know what's really going on, but he at least knows he wants to be a disciple of this great prophet. And he comes up and he asks him a question. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man, the formerly known as blind, answers, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? I want to know this guy. He's done something amazing for me. I want to know who he is." Remember, the mud was on his face before, and he was told to go wash it off. He's never even seen Jesus up to this point. He now lays eyes on him for the first time. "Who is he?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He's not been seeing for very long at this point. He's got his eyes laying on Jesus, the Savior of the world, God. And he says, "I am the one. I am the Son of Man, the one speaking to you am he." "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. The word there in Greek is a falling down worshiping him. Being down in front of Jesus, giving him all praise, not just as a prophet, but as someone greater than a prophet, someone willing to be, that should be worshiped. God alone should be worshiped. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." I want to be blind. Before I sang a song back several months ago, "I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I want to be a blind man." I don't know. There's not a good children's message in a song that I know of with that one. May we all truly not see goodness in ourselves. May we all be blind to the concept that we are indeed well and that we don't need any help. Jesus is using physical blindness and physical sight to point to a spiritual problem. People were seeing this blind man and just assuming that he was a sinner. They saw or heard that Jesus had done a miracle, a great sign. Well, if it was done on the Sabbath, could we even really count it as a good sign? It was probably a bad one. He shouldn't have been working that day. Awful Jesus healing blind people, just the worst. The people who would not see that Jesus was doing these miracles to bless others and that he was bringing them to himself, going out and finding the person who was alone, the guy who was kicked out of God's house, kicked out of the temple, Jesus goes and finds him, and the man falls at his feet and worships him. We want to be that person. May you not feel as alone as he did, though. My prayer and hope is that God would surround you with his whole family and his whole love every day, that you would know he has come to you every single day. Anytime you do good, though, may you be blind to the concept or the thought that that goodness in any way makes you good. Jesus Christ is the one who makes us good. He is the one who opens our spiritual blind eyes to see his glory and his goodness. When we see his goodness for us, when we see how much he's done for us, not just taking away a physical problem, but taking away the very problem of our sin, the sin that we all have, not just those people who have some sort of physical problem, but the sin that all people have. May he help us to see just how much he's taken away. For the blind man, he got to physically see. He got to lay eyes on Jesus. He knew without a doubt Jesus had done an amazing work for him. We ask for eyes to see that God has done amazing works for us. And for those who do not yet see, those who do not yet know Jesus, we ask that they would become blind. That sounds really harsh if you don't know what I'm going. If you've just tuned into the sermon, if you are wandering for a while, I didn't pray that people who are not believers would actually be physically made blind. That would be awful. We ask that God would make the whole world understand just how dark this world is, just how dark our sins are, how dark each and every individual is. We all walk in darkness, the Bible tells us. We all walk without the light. We all walk without the ability to see God. But God, in his grace and his mercy, has come to us to take the dark away, to fill it with light, to help you see his glory and his goodness, both now and especially in eternity. When you get to physically see him, you will get to see Jesus. You will see your God face to face. He will bring you to himself, call you by name. You will not be alone. You will be loved dearly. You will be there without sin, without physical pain and suffering. You will someday see very clearly what we see only partially now, that Jesus, true God, loves you. Your sins are paid for. You are redeemed. And may that peace continue to guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.